Hello, friends. Robert Imbrielli here, December 23rd. And I just wanted to pop in for just a couple of minutes here and sort of go over some of the things that I've been thinking about over the past few days. I know this year has been strange for a lot of people. And I was thinking about how much my habits have changed since the beginning of the year, or should I say March. I think here in California, March 20th was the day when they shut everything down. And I started to look at, you know, right at the beginning, my thought was, okay, let's try to keep things as normal as possible. And I've been doing that, certainly. But, you know, with so much changing in the environment around us, sometimes a little bit hard to keep things as normal as possible, right? So I started to look at that today. And I'm thinking about, you know, wow, look at the habits, how much my habits have changed. Restaurants, don't go out to restaurants at all. And I really should, because a lot of them are closing because we're just not, you know, they're not able to serve you. But, you know, the idea of buying a $40 steak dinner and taking it home and then heating it up again and cleaning all those dishes kind of defeats the purpose, right? So just by the mere fact of doing that, kind of changed my habits, and not intentionally, because I love going to eat out, but it really changed my habits. Also, my habits change in terms of where I go food shopping. Now, right at the beginning, when things were getting crazy there in March, there was a food store that I was going to, a grocery store I was going to on a regular basis, and I couldn't check out. For three times in a row, I couldn't check out with everything that was in my cart. They would remove things because I had too many of them. I had two, and they were only allowed one. Or I had three, and you're only allowed two, or whatever. But three times in a row, they took things out of my cart, and I couldn't check out. And I thought, okay, you know, there are other stores right next door. Didn't do that at all. They had no limits on anything, and I was able to get what I needed, and so be it. It was easy. So I stopped going to that grocery store. You know, that behavior was somewhat of an overreaction. And I'm finding that I'm doing the same thing too with some stores that are overreacting to the COVID situation with their rules. Oh, we can't have too many people in the store. So they make you wait outside in a long line before you actually can get into the store. They're not helping anybody. They're doing themselves a disservice. They're hurting their customers. And, you know, I don't shop there. I drive by, and if I see a line, I keep going. I don't go in. You know, I just don't want to stand in line to get in and then do my shopping and stand in line again to check out. It's too much standing around. I got things to do. I'll go to the next store over that doesn't have that policy. So I've noticed that, you know, these stores, these companies that have these policies, it can be over the top a little bit, and they're hurting themselves, and they don't necessarily need to be. It's like, here are the regulations, but we're going to go over and above because we're going to do better than the regulations. And you're thinking they're helping the situation, they're actually hurting themselves. And those kind of companies, like, okay, you know, if you want to play that game, I can go somewhere else, because there are other stores that aren't playing it at that level, and they make it more convenient for me. I'm the paying customer at the end of the day. If I would look at a store and I would see the store is too packed, and if I don't feel comfortable going in there, I don't go in. But to have it dictated, yeah, I'm not a big fan of that. The other information I thought was really fascinating that came out this week was something I've known intuitively since the beginning, that masks don't help. And the study that came out this week, they looked at all 50 states. And what they did is they did a survey, and they said, okay, what are the case numbers in the states that require people to mask up versus those that don't? There's a lot of states that don't have any mask mandates. People aren't required to wear masks everywhere. And what they found was, this is pretty funny, but the states that had the mask mandates had more than double the number of cases. So I interpolate that, and I look at it and I say, okay, so if you're wearing a mask, you're twice as likely to get coronavirus than if you don't wear a mask. Well, there's a lot of science there. There's a lot of common sense too. If you think about it, you know, if you walk by somebody who has the virus, if you don't have a mask on, you're going to walk by them, and you get a little bit of exposure, and you keep going. It's not a big deal. If you have the mask on and you're breathing through the mask, it's like a filter. You're sucking all that stuff in. All those viruses are stuck to your mask now, and you're carrying them around with you throughout the store. We know some people use the same mask again and again. I know I do. I don't have hundreds of masks, so I only put it on when I absolutely have to. And by doing that, you're going around collecting all this virus stuff, and the weave of the mask is too big, and the virons go right through. So I can understand from a common sense perspective how that makes sense, how wearing that mask is actually increasing your risk of getting corona. So, you know, I'm looking at these things, I'm looking at this year, and I'm saying, boy, this year is really beat up. And I looked at the calendar and I said, you know, here's what's interesting. We're almost a year into this. We're literally about 60 days away from being able to say we hit the 1 year mark with COVID, living with COVID. And now, you know, we could have predicted this one too. And now they're saying, well, there's a new strain. Well, of course there is. Viruses in their natural state will mutate. Now, here's the good news about that. When a virus transmits from one person to another, it mutates. It's not the same virus. It's strongest when it's first created, like this one was created. So it's strongest then, and as it mutates from person to person, it gets a little bit weaker, a little bit weaker, a little bit weaker. This virus is very contagious, but it's less and less potent as time goes on. So now they're finding new strains of it, right? You know, this is sort of natural what happens. You're always going to have a new strain. And, you know, are we going to go back into another round of scaring everybody and telling everybody to stay home? Is that what we're in for? You know, I don't know. I'm not up for it. I know a lot of people are not up for it. We're not ready to play that game. You know what? If the virus is going to get you, it's going to get you. You got to be strong and take care of your health and be as strong as you possibly can. So when you do run across it, it's not a big deal. And we're seeing that with a lot of people. We're looking at the people who are suffering the most. They're the people who have other health issues. So if you have fewer health issues, you keep your body strong, you keep your mind strong, you got a positive outlook on life, you're not living in fear, you're not eating garbage, you're getting the right nutrition, the right vitamins, the right minerals, you're getting a little bit of sun, you're getting exposed to the environment to keep your immune system strong, you've got good gut health, I don't think you really have to worry about it. You know, the death rate for those kind of people is very low, almost non-existent, if you will. And it's the people who have other comorbidities that are really suffering. Great. We know that there's a subset of society that's doing that. We just got to keep them away. They've got to do what they've got to do to stay away from, you know, situations that may be contagious to for them. The challenge is we've done it the other way around this time. We've decided, let's shut down the entire society to protect the vulnerable. Well, that doesn't really make a whole lot of sense because you and I still have to do business. We still have to make money. And I don't know about you, but my business has really just been wonky all summer. You know, I have a studio here. I've got three studios in here. And, you know, I haven't had many people come through. And it's really strange. It's like, well, I'm doing everything by Zoom now. It's different, right? So I know a lot of businesses that are struggling. I have a couple here in the business complex that I'm in that are, you know, dealing with this kind of thing, and they're dealing with their sales being way off. One is off 30%, one is off 90%. It's like, well, how are you paying the rent? He said, well, that's all I'm doing is paying the rent here. That's it. All the money comes in, goes right to the rent, and there's no profit at the end of the month. That's not sustainable. That's not going to last. We got to open the economy back up. We got to stop playing the game and living in fear. Now, how does this affect you? How does this impact you? And you may be disagreeing with some of the things I'm saying. I get that. You know, my media sources are not just one. And it's a mistake a lot of people make with today's media is only having one media source. You want to do it right. You got to have multiple sources of information. I have minimum 30 different sources of information. So I'm not getting it from one place. I'm getting it from a lot of places. I absorb it all and I figure out in my mind what makes the most sense. Where's the common sense in this? And that's what I go with. And that's where I've come up and drawn these conclusions from. So it's not just coming from one person. It's not coming from just my own little brain. It's coming from reading a lot of different things, a lot of different articles, watching a lot of videos, listening to different experts on all sides of the coin. Because if you listen to one side and only one side, you never get the full picture, right? You only get one side of the story. So you've got to kind of listen to both sides. I know sometimes it's hard to do that. You got to listen to both sides of it. Who are the people? What are they saying about masks? And why are they saying you should wear a mask? And how do they say it protects you? And then look at the people who say you shouldn't be wearing a mask because it damages your immune system. And, you know, it doesn't protect you. And in fact, it's worse because the mask is collecting all this virus and it's actually concentrating the virus in your mouth and your nose where you're going to get impacted negatively by it. Because in normal times without a mask, that wouldn't happen. So I look at it all and I say, okay, what makes the most sense? And then I saw this survey come out and it just kind of confirmed what I had already believed. And, you know, you got to look at the numbers. You just got to really look at the numbers. And a lot of what's being reported just isn't true. And I know I talk about this a lot because I'm here to help you. I really want you to understand this. And I want you to think in terms of what you're going to do going forward, right? If this continues into the new year, which absolutely it will, the question is, okay, what do you do next, right? We've been kind of waiting. A lot of us, I think, have been waiting on the sidelines saying, this is going to pass, this is going to pass, this is going to pass. You know, originally it was 2 weeks to flatten the curve. That was the mantra, right? 2 weeks. Just you wear the mask for 2 weeks. It's okay. We're entering month number 10 now of this, and it still hasn't changed. So how have you changed, number one? And number two, how has the economy or society or your client base changed? And how can you flex to be able to serve them better? And you got to start asking the questions. What are they needing? What are they afraid of? Right? How can you help them not be afraid? How can you help them stand up and be stronger? How can you help them be more successful when it looks like everything around them is falling apart? Because in some cases, it really is, right? But there are certain parts of the country that are doing really well. Not just California, not just New York. These are disasters, right? But there are a lot of parts of the country that are doing really, really well. So, you know, what do those guys need? They need something different than, you know, if they're not living in California. If you're living in Florida and everything's wide open, you know, they're business as usual for the most part. But, you know, what do they need? What do they need that's different than where you are? Right? So I've been asking those questions. I'm coming up with a lot of stuff. I'm actually creating a new course right now that's going to serve and answer some of those questions. I've been talking to a lot of people, as many as possible. I know Zoom is just not the same as actually having a face-to-face or, you know, go sit down, hey, let's go grab a coffee together, that kind of thing. But we got to do what we got to do. And the truth is, this is where we are right now. This is what we're given. This is the society, the situation that we're in. We've got to make the most of it. So number one for you is mindset, and your mindset is everything. That's why I suggest to you to get your news from multiple sources, because if you only get it from one and it's a doom and gloom, doom and gloom, doom and gloom, you're going to be crushed. And when you're crushed and when you're living in fear, you don't want to do anything. You don't even want to turn on the computer. You don't want to turn on the radio, right? You don't want to reach out to anybody. You kind of cocoon. And I see a lot of people doing this, and it's not good for you. It's not good for anybody else, because your talent, your skills, your gifts, if you're not out there delivering and sharing them, you're doing them a disservice. You're doing yourself a disservice too, but you're doing them a disservice, those people that you could be helping. So number one for you is to get yourself back on a solid, strong footing. You got to work on your mindset. You got to start seeing things that are working. Not everything has come to a crashing halt in our society. There are actually things that are working that are better than they were. We are clearly, as I've mentioned many times on my videos, we're clearly in the chaos phase. And chaos always leads to change, right? Change happens when there's a lot of chaos, because, you know, you don't really get big change without chaos. Little change maybe, but not big change. So big change is coming, no question. And it's going to be up to you to figure out, well, how do I remain strong? How do I remain focused? How do I remain positive? Because in this environment, the next generation of leaders is going to be made. What? All this crazy? Yeah, the next generation of leaders is going to be made. People are going to step up. People who are going to stand for something, who are going to speak their voice, right? And what happens is you got so many people in fear that anybody who stands up and speaks their voice, they immediately get followers. I'm watching, you know, some of these new social media networks. It's kind of interesting to watch them. And you watch some of these people come on, and they're brand new, and they've got no followers, but they've got their message, they're speaking their message. And what ends up happening really quickly with that is that they end up attracting a lot of followers. And their network grows really quickly. Now, I'm not talking Facebook, because Facebook is definitely on the decline. So is Twitter, with all the censorship and stuff. And I don't care what side of the aisle you're on, censorship is censorship. You know, I can't talk about vaccines. I can't talk about coronavirus. I can't talk about elections. All the things I can't talk about. I can't talk about natural health. All the things that I'm banned from talking about on these social networks. What's the point? These are my conversations. These are conversations I have with my clients all day long. If I can't have that conversation on social media, I don't need it. I'm going to go find another platform where I can have these conversations and not be censored, right? So it's happening. A lot of change is happening. This is good, because remember when the internet first came out, one of the number one things it did, I don't know if you guys remember, but the number one thing that happened when the internet first became popular is it leveled the playing field. You could be IBM or you could be Joe in the basement, and you could have equally, you know, powerful websites, because back then the technology was very limited. So IBM's website could look like your website. Your website could look like IBM's website. Level the playing field. Guess what's happening now in social media? With all these new social media sites popping up, playing field's leveled again. Everyone starts off with zero. Everyone starts off with no friends. And then we start making the connections, and I'm making new friends. I'm finding new people to connect with. And it's exciting again. It's like Facebook is what? I've been on Facebook now at 10, 11 years. And okay, it's dead. It's old. It's like, who cares anymore, right? But now we are making these new connections and new friends on other networks. And, you know, it's vibrant and it's exciting again. That too will die. And then there'll be something else that'll come along. So in this environment right now, you have a lot of opportunity, to really take things to a whole new level and to step out and start sharing your message and start making an impact on some new social media platforms. So I wanted to leave you with that. I know we're right before Christmas here. I want to wish you a Merry Christmas if you celebrate. And I'm going to come back in, maybe between Christmas and New Year's. I've got some things I want to share with you. And definitely on New Year's Eve, I'm going to be sending out some videos as well and helping you to keep your positive attitude, keep your spirits up, and let's look forward to making 2021 a better year than 2020. We are a lot more skilled, we're a lot more experienced now. Adversity makes us stronger. If it doesn't kill us, it's going to make us stronger. And I think for many of you watching this, you are a lot stronger now, and that's going to prove to be positive when it comes to 2021 and we start moving into this. And truthfully, they're not going to be able to pull the same stunts they've been pulling this year, because we know a lot more now, and we know it's not what they've made it out to be. And we're going to thrive a lot better. We're going to be a lot easier for us to do what we need to do in 2021. So if this was valuable for you, give it a thumbs up. Love to hear that, and share it with your friends and followers. And I look forward to speaking with you again real soon. Thanks for watching.